Boy, the Lord sure has provided us a beautiful morning this morning. It is just gorgeous outside, and I am so glad to see this good number in our meeting place this morning to worship and to praise our God. A great scripture reading. I just enjoy the scripture reading that was given, as it appears that Jesus was indeed so grateful. He had sent out 70 to tell men and women in Israel that He is the King and His kingdom was coming, and they come back energized, don't they? They come back excited because the message about the kingdom of Jesus was gaining momentum and steam among the nation. He said, Jesus did, that the common, the simple, the innocent Israelites were embracing the message that the 70 had been sent out to preach, that Jesus is the Messiah and He has a kingdom that is worthy of them being a part of. You may recall in the scripture reading in verse 21 there in Luke chapter 10, in verse 21, that Jesus had made this statement. He said there in this verse, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And He meant every bit of that. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. We are entering this season that Americans call Thanksgiving. If we have the joy and the privilege allowed to us by our Heavenly Father, many of us will be gathered with family and friends this Thursday and once again tell our God, we thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. We celebrate this as a nation. And we, as children of God, I'd say the vast majority of us, will take advantage of this Thursday and enjoy celebrating Thanksgiving together, a national holiday. It's not a religiously recognized holiday from Scripture, but it's one that we as a country enjoy. It's my favorite holiday, by the way. It's the one I think that America should give much more credence to than America does. Celebrating that God is and that we thank Him. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, my intentions this morning are not to spend a lot of time in preaching this lesson. Say, well, Ken, I've heard you preach a long time. Sometimes that doesn't work out too well. But I don't mean to hold us very long today, but I want us to think about some common things within the Scripture that will encourage us beginning today to have a day of thanksgiving unto God and a thorough week of thanksgiving unto God, and hopefully a lifestyle and a lifetime of giving thanksgiving unto God. And I want to do it by considering the expressions that are here upon the screen as part one of the lesson today. And I'm sorry if you can't read that because the font is rather small. So I'll tell you that this is in the 50th Psalm. If you'd like to open up your Bible to the 50th Psalm, and we'll read together verse 14. I want to read all of these passages this morning in the 50th Psalm. And in verse 14, the psalmist says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Well, he actually has just said the same thing, just said it a little bit different than the way in which we may have thought of it. Offer to God thanksgiving. You know, Asaph is absolutely right that we offer thanksgiving, that we would tell our God with heartfelt and meaningful expressions to let Him know, thank you. You know, a lot of times as parents, that's all we ever want to hear from our children. That we'll be willing to do so much for our children, and just a thank you goes so long. It means so much. It means so much to God. Offer to God thank yous. Give those heartfelt expressions. And we have so many reasons to do that. At the end of the lesson, I'm going to kind of dive into a few of those reasons, but I want you to see the expression, offer to God thanksgiving. If you'd like to turn to the Hebrew letter here in the New Testament in chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 15, the Hebrew writer tells us as Christians, therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's not hard to understand. Giving thanks to His name. That we verbalize giving thanks unto His name. That is what the Hebrew writer would like for all of us to do. Now think about this expression, the name. That expression or that word name simply refers to His power or His authority. Giving thanks to the great power and the authority that the Creator of heaven and earth alone deserves. Remember He said, I thank You, Father, who is the God of heaven and earth. And that's what He's talking about. It includes the Creator of all of us. He's made all of us. And we ought to be so thankful that He's created us. He's created everything about us. We ought to offer up the fruit of our lips. Thank You, God, for Your power. Thank You for Your grand authority. We thank You, Lord. Offer up thanksgiving unto God. Give thanks to His name. And if you go into the Colossian letter, this is subtle, and yet I want you to see the subtle difference. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now the last passage we said, give thanks to His name. In this passage we're saying, give thanks through His name. In other words, when we talk to our Father and we express our thanksgiving, we need to be going through Him. Now you might ask, who's the Him? The Him is Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. Jesus is the one who is our alone authority, our alone bridge. He's the one that gaps the bridge between us and our Heavenly Father who is above all. The one who is above the universe. The one who holds everything within His mighty hand and power. Jesus said, come to the Father through Him. And He wants us to do that, to give thanks to the Father for all things through the power that Jesus alone has. If you go and you continue to look here, I want to just show you another way that this is written in the Roman letter in chapter 1 and in verse 8. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Well, that's the same thought. The first one there, I just read a moment ago, give thanks through His name, clarified, give thanks through Jesus Christ, the specific individual, His name. And Paul said, I'm giving thanks to God the Father for you, through the name, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when we are praying to our God, we're praying to our Heavenly Father. He's taught us how to pray in Scripture, that we come to the Father through His authority, through His name, through His power, as He mediates and intercedes for us. How can we approach the Father? Jesus said, I'll help you get the job done. Recognize that God wants us to thank Him through Jesus Christ. And there's one more of these type of expressions that I want you to think about. Give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. This is in the Ephesian letter and in chapter 5 and in verse 20. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 20, the writer says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So these are very subtle concepts that I'm showing you some differentiation in. Our God wants us to offer Him thanksgiving. We recognize we offer thanksgiving for His power and His authority, and that we come to the Father through His name. What name? The name Jesus Christ. And we come through the Father through the power that the Father has granted Jesus. Remember in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority's been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has all authority in heaven and earth that we can come aboard, and talk to our Heavenly Father who dwells above everything that has been created. Remember the Philippian writer tells us in chapter 2 and verse 10 that the name or the power or the authority of Jesus, it has been exalted above every name that there is. Don't come to the Father through the name Ken Sills. That ain't going to get you anywhere. You don't do it through Pope Francis either, nor do you do it through Joel Osteen. Jesus Christ. That's the name that's above every name. Now, with all of those five in your thoughts, think about this. If you'll open up your Bible with me to the Psalms once again, the 35th Psalm and in verse 18. In the 35th Psalm and in verse 18, listen to what David tells us in this passage of Scripture. He says, I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Well, that's what Israel would do often. They would gather themselves together, or they would assemble, or they would congregate. That Greek word, oftentimes for congregate, would be the word synagogi. That's where they got the concept of synagogues. That they would gather themselves together. Unusually, it would have been the Sabbath day back in the Old Testament days. But they came together for what purpose? To give thanks unto God. How important it is for us to come together on a weekly basis like we're doing right now, blending our hearts together, blending our affections together, to tell our God in one voice, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done. And yet there are some that won't assemble. And I'm really persuaded that many of those that would be considered our fallen brothers and sisters, or those that are starting to forsake the assembling of themselves, the reason that they're doing it is because they're really no longer thankful to God for what God has done for them. God has become something that's far out and away from their thought process, of their thankfulness for all that He has done for them. Their hearts oftentimes become far too self-centered or narcissistic, and they're involving themselves more and more each day with the pleasures, the cares, and the concerns of this world. And, you know, the Israelites sometimes were like that, but remember Jesus talked about, I'm so glad you revealed these to babes. You revealed this to the common men and women of Israel, just like He's revealed it to the common people of our generation that recognize that we're not much of anything without the Creator of the universe, and we voice together our thankfulness for all that God has done for us. I think that was one of the issues that Jesus was having with Pharisees, Sadducees, leaders, and teachers of Israel. They weren't thankful unto God. They thought of themselves much like God, rather than recognizing their total dependence on God. Thank you, God. So we come together assembled to express that. And you know, most Christians that you know they're going to be here every Sunday, you know why? Because they know the importance of gathering to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praising God for what He's done for us. And the last one here, to give thanks when you're all alone at home. To give thanks when you're all alone at home. And I've got maybe my favorite verse from the book of Daniel. Daniel's a fabulous book of Scripture. The first six chapters are just, the narrative there just flows and teaches so many lessons for us about the Israelites, that they had been brought into this terrible and brutal captivity of the Babylonians. And yet there were some leaders among Israel that shone like the sun. Daniel was one such leader. And he got some authority within the Babylonian government, although a slave. And it was so much authority that it intimidated the Babylonians that were in Nebuchadnezzar's government. And so they set a trap for Daniel. Remember that they had set a sign, they had formed this letter that basically they took to the king and said that no one's allowed to worship any other god than you, and appealed to his narcissistic kingly self. And he signed it. And as soon as it was signed, there's that passage in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 10. Let's read that together. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room, and with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. I think Daniel probably understood that day he was earning a trip to the lion's den. That's my guess. He knew the inner workings of how things were going to go. But that wasn't going to stop him. He would go to his home as it was his custom from early days, and he would thank his God in front of anyone who would care to look within his window. And of course they were looking and they discovered it. I suggest to you, Daniel really never left his babehood. Remember Jesus said, "You've revealed these to the babes, to the common people, the keep people that recognize their total dependence upon the Creator of the universe." And they were thankful for the things that they were exhibiting and they were seeing and they were appreciating. And Daniel was such a man, so thankful for all that God had done. He recognized that he owed his life. He owed his breath. Everything that he possessed, even though he was in a captivity, he owed it to the Creator of the universe, and therefore he would not be stopped in expressing his thanksgiving unto God. Thank you, God. That needs to be our mentality. We need to have the courage and the attitude of Daniel. Thank you, God, regardless of who sees, public or private, that we are truly babes that thank our Father who's in heaven and also authority of earth. And so with all of these expressions, let's consider a few things now as we think about why we should be this way. Why should we be so expressive of our thanksgiving unto God? The first one there I have listed is, give thanks for God supplying our physical needs. And I have an interesting passage of Scripture, maybe one that you wouldn't have chosen, but I thought about this passage from the Old Testament prophet Joel. Now, Joel is speaking unto the people of Judah that definitely needed to be thankful unto God and needed to respond to God as God is in the midst of punishing them rightly for their disobedience. And so in Joel chapter 2 and in verse, let's begin in verse 25. Here's what God said to them, as even though He's in the midst of punishing them, God said to His people, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you." They needed all of those locusts because they needed to learn a difficult lesson. But our God is saying, learn that lesson, and I want to restore the land to you. I want to restore my blessings to you. I want to provide for you. I want to take care of you. They have left the care of God. And God is using it to remind them, oh, you need me, and I want to supply what you need. That's been our God. He's always wanted to supply our physical needs. We may recall what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12. Let's open up our Bibles there for just a moment. In Luke chapter 12 and in verse 28. Usually when we think about this, we think about what's said in the Sermon on the Mount. But this is Luke's rendition of this principle when Jesus tells us, do not worry. He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 28, "If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field, tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For after all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things." That's very reassuring. Our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need. Probably knows it better than we do. He knows exactly what we need. In verse 31, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's your Father's good pleasure to give you. Well, in that case, specifically the kingdom. But it's the Father's good pleasure to supply all the things that you physically need. That is our Father. That's how He feels about us, just like a human father feels towards a son or a daughter whom he loves. Wants to take care and provide for that child. He delights in that. And just as He delighted for it in the first century, He delights for us here in Alabama in 2024. He wants to take care of us and provide for what we truly, truly need. So let's be observant and recognize that He's supplying what we need. He might not be supplying exactly what you want, but He is supplying what we physically need to deal with the adversities and the struggles of the day. That's our God. Let's give thanks to Him for supplying what we physically need. Let's also give thanks unto our God for all the deeds that He's done among His people. We just sang that song. I didn't even ask Chris to lead that song. I'm so glad that he did. Look with me in the 105th Psalm. The 105th Psalm, and in the first couple of verses. The 105th Psalm, and in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." That's not a surprise when we're reading the Psalms. We hear expressions like that all the time, don't we? "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord with His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. O seed of Abraham, His servant, O children of Jacob, His holy ones." And we know that His church is the true and new spiritual Israel. And this goes for us just as well as it went for the days when David was riding upon the earth. Let us all be willing to make known His deeds among the people. And when we do that, the expressions of thanksgiving will simply overflow. If you were with us with the first sermon last Sunday, you may recall that I talked about our Psalm of the Month, and I had chosen Psalm 135. In Psalm 135, there was that echo from the psalmist here. As you read there in verse 8 of the 135th Psalm, "Making known His deeds, He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and his servants." We read the book of Exodus, we see, right, the 10 amazing plagues that God sent down upon the nation of Egypt simply because they refused to let His people go. And God said, "Let me show you who I am. You will let them go." And of course, Pharaoh did. After the 10th plague was over with, as you keep reading in this text of Scripture in verse 10, "He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings, Shihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, His people." When the Lord chooses to have His own people, there isn't any rebellious individuals on earth that can withstand Him. That's what the Old Testament proved to us. And He's chosen us, Christians, as His people, as His heritage. And there's no force upon the earth that can withstand His power to have His heritage upon the earth if He chooses that to be so. We're His family, and we ought to marvel in His grand and glorious deeds. Marvel on the things that have been written about all the blessings He provides for us. This grand and glorious ledger book gives us a copy and a history of all that He has done. Don't be afraid to love it, and don't be afraid to share it with others. And surely thank God for all the deeds that He has done for us. So let's give thanks for Him supplying our physical needs, for all the deeds that He's worked among the people. Let's give thanks for the great power and the reign of Jesus of Nazareth. Let's give thanks for that truth. That truth has been expressed in several different places in the Bible. But let me take you to the book of Revelation. And let's look at a few verses beginning in verse 15. When we get towards the end of the unleashing of all of God's wrathful power upon the people that were destroying His people upon the earth, He gets to the very last trumpet being sounded. And we have there in verse 15 of Revelation 11, "The seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. I have verse 17 marked, because I want you to think who we're giving thanks to. We are giving thanks to the Lord God Almighty. That's like God cubed. The Master, the Lord God, that's Jesus, God the Son, the Almighty One, the One who is mightier than all. We should be giving Him thanks, the One who always has been, who is today, and always will be, because He's God. No one can take His life. He is the source of life. And we are His heritage. If we want to look at this a little clearer, let's look at Colossians chapter 1 when we're thinking about Jesus. Because my dear friend, He is far more than man, although He took on a body of flesh. The Apostle Paul does not mince words speaking to his brothers and sisters in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 15, referring to Jesus of Nazareth, He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. He's the preeminent of all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. He's before all things, and in Him all things consist. He made everything. The evolutionists, when they read passages like this, are willing to pull out their hair and our hair as well. They laugh and they scoff and they mourn and they mock. And yet the Bible is clear that God has made everything. And Jesus of Nazareth is God in flesh. That He came from heaven to die for humanity, and that He has accepted and gone back into heaven, where now He reigns until He comes to judge the world in the final day for the living and the dead. He is indeed the preeminent over creation. He has made you. He's made us. He's made everything there is. He's utilized the wisdom of God to where now man makes things that does great things, but He still makes the largemouth bass. He still makes the animals. And He is the one that has allowed you to live. That is our God. Our God is great, the Almighty Lord God of heaven and earth. He is the King of our life. He is the sustainer of the world. He is the one that we should be thanking without end. Speaking of why we should be thanking Him without end, look at this passage of Scripture here with me in the book of Romans. When we read Romans chapter 7, we find a demoralized Paul, a man that was made upright, but then the commandments came into his life and he sinned and he found out he had been caged in this terrible death throes of sin that Satan has incorporated. He can't find a way out. He's struggling between life and death, and he recognizes that if he dies in this condition, he's going to suffer the same fate as the devil in eternity in the devil's hell. And that's why he projects, as he does in Romans chapter 7, in verse 24, he says, "I am a wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? How can I escape?" Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's how we escape. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How are you going to escape your sin? How are you going to escape your mortality? People say, well, people haven't been escaping their mortality. We see death every day. I've been to far too many funerals. But my guess is, in practically every funeral you've been to in the United States of America, there is a discussion that there's more beyond the grave, isn't there? And that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how we escape. He is the one that has redeemed us. He's the one that's given us power. He's the one that has cleansed us because He offered up His lifeblood. That's why we spend so much time on Sunday morning singing those songs that Chris led for us this morning to recognize that Jesus of Nazareth died for us. He gave His lifeblood for us. He allowed Pilate to say, okay, go ahead, crucify Him. He willingly and voluntarily laid down on the wood and allowed them to drive nails in His hands and feet, because it was through His blood we can be delivered. That's what Paul said. Who can deliver me? Jesus. That's who can deliver us. And that's why we treasure this wonderful message. One more point. Excuse me. Give thanks for His word working in those who believe. It's interesting, as I was putting this lesson together, I really wasn't thinking so much about this is exactly where we ended up in our study last Wednesday night in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 13. We'll be taking off in a couple of weeks, Lord willing. He said in verse 13, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Why are you thanking God without ceasing? Why do you continually thank God? Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. I'm living proof of that. As I was growing up as a young man, I didn't care much for the Word of God. I'd always believed the Bible was the Word of God. And I always thought that there is a God, and the God that created all things was the God of the Bible, but I didn't read it. I didn't look at it. I didn't understand it. I didn't spend time with it. And so my life kept going chaotically off a cliff, much more like Paul, as I knew that I was living in a body of death and that there was going to be a tragic price to pay in hellfire. One day, I started reading it. I started looking at it. I believed it. I began to hear it. And it began to change my life. It began to work effectively in me. I began to accept it and say, oh, that's how I'm supposed to live? I better start living that way. Oh, that's the way I need to start talking? I better start talking that way. This is what God is communicating to me through this powerful message that has been given by Jesus and His holy apostles and prophets that wrote it down for us in the first century. This wonderful New Testament letter, it has effectively worked in me, and many of you sitting in the pews can say the same type of thing in your life. That it's changed your life too. And we're trying to tell the community around us that allow the New Testament Scriptures effectively work in you because it is the Word of God. And I am so thankful that it's changed my life. I'm so thankful because I'm now a man of hope. I'm thankful now because I have purpose and meaning in this life that I did not have before I start reading and applying this wonderful book of Scripture. And so I come together each first day of the week, like you're doing today, to give thanks and to praise my God for what He has done. And we hope that you will join us. That's our desire, for anyone in the audience to take up the gauntlet, to take up the mantle like we have, and to remember what the Scripture reading was encouraging us. Jesus was so thankful unto His Father, the Lord of heaven and earth. And in this passage of Luke chapter 10, there's a little passage I want you to see with me in verse 23. In verse 23, He turned to the followers that He had, and He said privately to them, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see." Oh, the things they were seeing. The things they saw confirmed that He was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we can't see the miracles like they saw, but we have even better vision. We have 20/20 vision. We have the sign and sealed message that is inspired of God that confirms these things as true, and we need to believe them with all of our heart. You need to see them just as real as they did. You need to believe them just as real as they did, and the same blessings they had will be issued upon you. Trust the Lord. Give thanks unto His name. Become one that is a child, a son, or a daughter of God, living in thankfulness, faithfulness, and heaven will be yours when this life is over. Doesn't that sound wonderful? It gives us hope. It gives us meaning, purpose, and drive. If there's someone in the audience that wants that, and don't have that right now, but you want it, it's just a matter of your decision. It's a matter of your determination. Give your heart and your life to Jesus, and life will become full and rich and have purpose and meaning. There's some in the audience that would like to do that. We'd encourage you, come to the front now. Let's take care of your spiritual need as we stand and sing the song that Brother Chris has selected.